Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We are talking Penn State football and doing some Penn State wrestling a little bit later in the show, looking ahead to 2020 a little bit. Penn State running backs and Penn State wide receivers, an interesting position for both of those skill groups to be in. We want to look at all those and try to anticipate what the offense is going to look like when it comes to running and catching the ball. There's a lot of questions to try to answer there. We'll get started with that with our best guesses. We'll also look at, you know, back in 2019, who Penn State lost and how that, you know, affects each individual position group on Penn State's roster. I don't know that we'll rank them necessarily, but we'll look at the impact of losing guys like Yetur Gross-Matos and KJ Hamler and see how that's going to affect their respective position groups. Ask Greg is coming up a little bit later, and Penn State wrestling at an interesting time here with a big duel against Iowa out there in Iowa coming up January 31st. Jake Aferia from the Daily Collegian will join us to talk about Penn State, their last road trip out to Nebraska. They'll be returning to the Midwest after beating Nebraska 20-18. So a lot to talk about on the Penn State wrestling front as well. For now, Penn State skill position guys, Greg, a lot of depth, a lot of talent at the running back spot. A new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach that scored really high marks in the run game. A lot of question marks in the receiving game. So the big question that we're going to try to anticipate, and there's a lot of this we don't know about the coach's approach and that kind of thing, but how does all this come together next year? And we'll look at running backs and wide receivers separately, but what's your feel for the offense, whether there's going to be a big philosophical change and what that change might look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we're going to see some differences here, not only because Penn State tends to mix things up a little bit in each season, but also for the obvious reasons of you now have three new coaches on that side of the ball in Kirk Shiraka, Taylor Stubblefield, and Phil Troutwine. So, you know, I think the biggest change that I would expect and maybe think is a priority for them is to clean up some of these issues they have with, I think, what ends up being wrong decisions on the read pass option plays. So we saw how Minnesota really took advantage of the vulnerable positions that the RPO scheme can put you in, and they were able to counterpunch Penn State's defense a lot, and other defenses for that matter, because Tanner Morgan was a smart quarterback who made the right reads. And sometimes I think Sean Clifford, it's not that he wasn't a smart quarterback, but either because of injury or whatever, I don't know if he could run the ball maybe like we thought he could, and because of that, you know, teams would give him a look that should have meant he was going to keep the ball and run, and instead he would hand it off and the back would have nowhere to go. So I think that's one of the things I'll really be curious to see how Penn State can clean that up. And then just from a general perspective, I mean, you look at the running back pitcher, it seems pretty clear who's going to be the lead dogs there. But the receiver room, man, that's anybody's guess. And you can assume that Daniel George or Mack Hibbenhammer might be one of the guys that step up. But I think we could just easily see the freshman and true freshman become big keys to this offense as well.
Yeah, and I think that's there's some excitement there. And there's, you know, there's some good reason to believe. And I do think when you talk about simplification, and that's not a it sounds like a negative thing. I think in Penn State's position, this is a positive thing, and I think it can be especially positive for Sean Clifford. You look at the way that Tanner Morgan just seemed to have a really strong connection with the playbook, with what they were trying to accomplish, why they were trying to accomplish it, and what they were trying to do on a certain play, a certain look. You know, the synergy between Kirk Shiraka and Tanner Morgan, above anything else, I thought was the biggest biggest takeaway from his time at Minnesota this past year in particular. The wide receivers were outstanding at Minnesota. Penn State's got some good prospects at that position, but they don't really have quite what they had at Minnesota. So I think the expectation that, you know, wide receivers are going to run wild because of the scheme. I think the most important thing is that Sean Clifford might be more centered, more focused, more in touch with what the offense is trying to accomplish.
Right.
And I think if that's the case, then whatever you think the offense might look like, whatever way you think it might skew, it's going to be better. If Sean Clifford is in a more comfortable position, the offense is going to be better no matter what approach they take.
100%. And I think that when you look at what Kirk Sciarca did, the one thing that Penn State's going to have to dial in on quickly, and it's going to come down to the two of the new coaches, I think, more than anybody else, is they were just efficient, and they were very good at whatever. They didn't really do anything crazy, anything out of this world, design-wise or anything like that, Dustin, but they did just enough to be able to, you know, they did the things they did really, really well. And that's because the linemen blocked when they were supposed to, and the receivers were able to get open and be at the spots they were supposed to be at. I mean, a lot of the times we saw those guys just run wide open down the field. So, I mean, to me, I just think that that ultimately Penn State's going to have to, you know, really find a way to make sure that everything sort of goes hand in hand together now with all the new stuff they have. And I think that's one of the reasons Kirk Sciarca was the pick. He's a bit of an older guy, a little bit more experience as a coordinator, and certainly has worked in enough places that he had to adjust things from time to time with new position coaches. Guys got hired for other jobs. He had to work somebody new in. So I think he's had experience with that. And, you know, I think it's one of the many reasons he's been picked. It'll be great to get to talk to him at some point. I'm sure he'll be available and officially introduced as Penn State's new offensive coordinator at some point in the near future. It'll be interesting to see. It's interesting to see what you know, what kind of things he changes with the running back rotation and also the receiver rotation. Does he pick three guys and just roll with those at the receiver, or does he do some of what Ricky Ronnie did, rather, where, you know, they rolled through a good portion of both the running back room and the receiver room?
So I think the bigger question really is the wide receivers. We'll touch on that in just a moment. We're talking Penn State. In 2020, the skill position, the skill groups at running back and at wide receiver in particular, there are questions to answer at tight end. There's questions to answer all over the place. We will, as we get into the bulk of the offseason, we'll get into each position individually. But I think, you know, one of the bigger things when you're trying to forecast how good this offense can be is what to expect from running backs and wide receivers. As this segment brought to you by our good friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, it's America's top-rated sportsbook apps. You can place your bets now for America's biggest game of the year on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. All kinds of props, interesting stuff. Even if you're not the biggest diehard football fan in the world, if you don't have all the ins and outs on the two teams involved, you can still wager on total points scored, the coin toss, who's going to be the MVP of this game. Will any quarter end scoreless? There's all kinds of interesting ways to slice and dice, and there's, you know, you're going to require some good fortune for some of these, but you're going to require some good fortune no matter what you're doing. So check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app. When you do, download it. Use code KSN when you get there for a limited time. All new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. It's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. It's in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and your first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. On the running back front, Greg, you know, we saw an evolution last year. We went from, you know, there were some grumbles a lot of the year because there didn't seem to be a strong rhyme or reason why Penn State was mixing and matching at particular junctures in games. And there were times where, you know, you wonder, for example, why Noah Cain wasn't in the game in the fourth quarter. Or, you know, there were a bunch of different examples. But as the year went on, we did start to see more clarity. As you look back on that four-man rotation, which could be four, five, six-man rotation next year. So it's going to to be a similar situation. Do you look back and say, you know, Penn State's coaching staff had this right? You know, they knew all along that the dust was going to settle. Maybe we shouldn't have been so antsy to try to get clear resolution. Or are you still thinking, you know, we could see this repeat itself? Now, obviously, at the end of last year, Journey Brown really surges and takes a hold of that job. And we expect that to be the case to start next year, too. But we could have some interesting moments there.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, the running back rotation ended up working out better than I think most wanted to give it credit for initially. So I don't think there's anything to, I don't think there's anything to pick at from that perspective. I do think that that worked out fine. It kept those guys happy. Now, look, is it possible one or two of them decide to transfer after spring practice? Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that it's a possibility. But, you know, it's also not a guarantee either. These guys, when we talked to them in Dallas, Dustin, they just seemed very set on coming back and being a part of this program in 2020 and beyond. And they weren't going to allow, you know, maybe one guy getting more playing time than another guy change that. Now, again, could that tune change down the road? Of course it could. But, you know, I do think that it's probably likely that all these guys stay. Like I said, could one of them leave after spring practice? Certainly. But for the most part, these are young guys who have not and will not graduate for at least another year or so. I don't want to say that they're completely stuck in the situation that they're currently in, but in a lot of ways, most of them are, just because, you know, grad transferring is not an option for anyone, I don't think, but Journey Brown. And why would he grad transfer? He's probably going to be the top dog. So
yeah,
everybody else is either stuck, you know, playing at Penn State, but at least having a chance to play, or maybe having to go somewhere and sit out a year if they decide to do that.
Looking at the wide receiver spot, our buddy Jim Galante over here seems to, you know, has two piles of players. One is too big for the running back spot, seemingly. One is maybe not big enough at the wide receiver spot. Can there be free traffic from one spot to the other in this way, kind of like the cornerback to safety pipeline that Penn State has set up? Can one of these guys, maybe they're not officially declared so, but you know, a guy like Kazai Holmes, for example, is not your standard, you know, strap it up, hand it to him 25 times a game back. Not yet, anyway. But he could be used in an interesting way. Ricky Slay was the best receiving back in the backfield last year, the most productive for sure. Can he be used in a more unique way? Can his role change and evolve and be more of a receiver than a runner? Can there be any way to reconcile the lack of proven depth in one spot and the abundance of proven depth at another?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to hear a lot of talk over the next few months, Dustin, about, well, can Ricky Slade go to the slot? Can Kazai Holmes go to the slot? Can Kevon Lee go to the slot? And that's fine, but, you know, at some point you might overwhelm that position with bodies too. So I do think that it would make sense to have at least one of those guys, where all those guys work out in that role during spring practice, and one of them potentially play that role in 2020. But, you know, you still have Jahan Dotson, who could just be, you know, could be an easy candidate to slide inside as well.
So you got some breakout guys that you're hopeful at wide receiver. You got an offensive coordinator who has some history here of making the most out of wide receivers. There could be some good things coming, but there's a lot of questions left to answer. That's where we just started. Now we're going to move on, look back at 2019. Who left and how big those voids are for Penn State in 2020? Stick around.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.